If you need a title for this session, it's Do All. D-O-A-L-L. I remember the years that I played basketball, and I remember, you know, when I first started playing, they had us in a 2-1-2 zone. Probably wondering, what does this have to do with the message? It does. And that 2-1-2 zone was one, to me, I'll say it this way, I don't know about my other teammates, but it was boring. Because I felt at first that it limited me. I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do because I was, quote unquote, stuck in this zone. And so invariably, during the course of a game, you get away from what the coach has drilled into you and you go off doing things your own way. And we got out of our zone and played man-to-man defense or a different variation of the zone, and it didn't always work. And the problem with that is that we'd go from winning a game to losing a game. And when a coach would call timeout, he would just say, okay, guys, get back into your zone. That's all he said. We knew what that meant. We got back into our zone. Everyone played their positions. Everything worked out. Well, it's no different spiritually, because once we received Christ, we became born again. We became new creatures in Christ Jesus. There's a different way that we're to do things. And when we look at things all out of hand and all crazy and going crazy and things all over the place, we don't need to panic. We need to get back into our zone and go back to basics. Because in the zone, everybody has a position, everybody has a part, everyone has a job, everyone has a responsibility. My responsibility was dependent on whoever was playing in the wings. If they didn't do what they were supposed to do, I couldn't do what I was supposed to do. So we all had to work together. Everyone had to do their part, and that's the way we need to function as the body of Christ. God knows, and he knows what's happening. He knew it was going to happen, and he told us what we're supposed to do about it. And it's a very, very basic thing. What he said to us was, in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 out of the Message Bible, he said, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. He brings the best out and puts the best in. Because he gives us well-formed maturity, so naturally, what's going to come out of us? Well-formed maturity. But one of the reasons we would come out of the zone as a player is we would look at what's going on around us, and we thought that the way the coach designed it wasn't going to work. And that principle still holds true. We'll read that scripture, but we'll look at the social issues, we'll look at the economic state of affairs, and we'll say, I think I need to do something else. No, you don't. We need to stick with God's game plan and take our everyday, ordinary life, sleeping, eating, walking around life, place it before God as an offering. See, what that will do, it will put us in a position, in the perfect position to respond to anything. Because once we've laid our lives down as an offering, we've totally sold out to God. We say, God, here's my life. You do with it as you see fit. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll say what you tell me to say. And he'll tell you your part as the solution to whatever's going on. Whatever's going on. And it doesn't matter whether it's sin, pandemic, social issues. It really doesn't matter what it is. The basic fundamental principle is we submit ourselves to God, give him our lives as an offering, and he will take it from there. He'll take it from there, because that puts us in a position where we'll be responding to God's prompts and not the world's prompts. We'll listen to God's voice and not the world's voice. 2 Timothy 2, in the easy-to-read version, says a soldier wants to please his commanding officer, so he does not spend any time on activities that are not a part of his duty. Let me tell you something about that. When you're a soldier and you're on duty, you're placed in a position, it can be very lonely. Because you feel like you're by yourself. You're not by yourself. You're part of a huge, huge unit of people, but you're there on your post, and it appears that it's just you and whatever's in your surroundings. You can't leave until you've been properly relieved. You can't go off your post, no matter what's going on with you personally, with your neighborhood, with your family. If you've been placed on post, your obligation is to stay there. Because the scripture says, a soldier wants to please his commanding officer, so he does not spend any time on activities that are not a part of his duty. One translation says you have to divorce yourself from all these social issues and things. It says athletes in a race must obey all the rules to win. One of our grandchildren was in a race, and you know, it breaks your heart, but you get in the starting blocks and they say, on your mark, set, then they shoot the gun to go. Well, a couple of people jumped the gun. I guess they were just excited. I thought they got a second chance. They were disqualified from the race. And I started thinking about all that work they put in, and just felt badly for their little hearts. But athletes in a race must obey all the rules to win. We have to obey all the rules to experience the victory we already have. God is counting on us to stay in our area and fulfill our assignment. Now, on that note, look at John 16. Jesus said to us, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. Why do you think Jesus would say that to us? He knew what our assignments were going to be, and he knew that for whatever reason, every path that we have to go down is not going to be smooth. Some is going to be rocky, it's going to be rough. It may be dangerous. So he had the Apostle Paul give us some very sound instruction to go right side by side with what he said. In Ephesians 6, we're going to spend most of our time in Ephesians 6. The King James Version, starting with verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of all of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." Now that's a very powerful scripture if you understand the basics of it. I've come to believe that too many believers don't understand the basics of that scripture. And what happens is that you damage your faith, you weaken your faith, because you think you're standing, but you don't see anything happening. You don't see anything changing. And you're starting to wonder, what's going on? And meanwhile, your faith that was once strong and solid starts to wane. Unbelief is starting to kick in because you don't understand what's going on. Confess that you're standing. You made the confession. Say, I'm standing on what God told me. We say, I'm standing on the word. We get excited. We get demonstrative. We slap a Bible on the floor and we stand on it. We say, I'm standing on the word. I'm standing on the word. And meanwhile, you're getting smacked and knocked down and everything just seems to be going wrong. And you start wondering, what's happening? You sing the song, Standing on the Promises, and nothing happens. You read the scriptures, you get excited, but nothing's happening. You tell the devil, I'm standing on the word, don't mess with me. Nothing happens. Well, I discovered, but shout out to my wife, Minister Phyllis, because she was sharing with me about the revelation that she got about this. And as she was sharing it with me, I said, will you please email me? Just email that part to me, because God is giving me something and I know it's going to come out as a message. Look at Ephesians 6. Because in our excitement, we miss a very basic but very important piece. And I believe it's why we have so many people with issues seeing the goodness of God. Because in their excitement, you ever lose something and get so excited looking for it that you overlook? I mean, there's several times my cell phone cover is black. The interior of the car is black. And I get out, I'm looking for my phone, can't find it. It's blended in with the blackness of the upholstery or the carpet, and I'm looking all over the place and can't find it. I come back with a bright light. There it is, sitting right there on the seat. But there's a fundamental piece. Looking at Ephesians 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, is what it says. Having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. We don't have a problem with standing. We have a problem because we forget about the part that says, having done all, stand. Still in that verse, King James Version, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. That's another key that the scripture is telling us. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we can't get excited about being able to stand against the wiles of the devil if we have not put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, that means resist, in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. Having done all. Nothing left out, nothing omitted, nothing forgotten. All means the entire, the whole. All, every component, every piece. It's all of that is in all. It's all in all. If you can't stand if you haven't done all. You can't. Because something would be missing. And you wouldn't know what it was. It would be incomplete because the scripture says, having done all. I looked up stand, the word stand, and it means, or some of the meanings, or there are a lot of meanings for references to stand in the concordance, but some of them are to continue safe and sound, to be unharmed. To stand ready or prepared, to be of a steadfast mind. I like this one. The quality of one who does not hesitate or does not waver. See, the ability to stand doesn't just happen. It's the result of something we've done. And we need to understand that. Our ability to stand is the result of our having done all. If we don't do all, we won't be able to stand. Having done all, stand. Having done all, continue safe and sound, stand unharmed. Having done all, stand ready or prepared. Having done all, be of a steadfast mind. Having done all, do not hesitate or waver. Because you've done all, no reason for hesitation, no reason for wavering, no concerns, no trepidation, nothing. You're rock solid, you're focused in because you've done all. Now there's an important part that didn't deliberately leave it out, was just building to it. Because if the scripture says having done all, we need to know what all means. Well, the scripture itself gives us that information. Back to Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That means we need to tap into the correct power source. If we tap into the wrong power source, we're not going to have the energy to stand. 11, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You need every piece of garment that God laid out every day. Like that commercial for the American Express card, don't leave home without it. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Doesn't matter what the climate is, what the temperature is, what the weather is, none of that matters. What did God tell you to put, how did God tell you to dress? And I'm not talking about natural clothes. If we're going to put on, it says put on the whole armor of God. That means every piece is important. Every piece we need to have with us every moment of every single day. Why? There's no time. When stuff happens, when circumstances show up, there's no time to say to the circumstance, you just wait right here. Let me go get fully dressed and I'll come back. It doesn't work that way. You'll get knocked down and trampled upon. We need to be fully dressed. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, it's verse 12, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why is that important to know? Because we keep thinking people are the problem. So we wind up addressing people, and the problem is not the people. The problem is not a natural issue. The real issue is spiritual. That we wrestle, put on the whole armor, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. I believe the Passion Translation says that we wrestle against the highest class of demon gods. The highest class. You have to remember, people are not the problem. Spiritual issues, spiritual being, that's the problem. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'm going to share some the next few verses from the Passion Translation because of the way it explains it. Having done all, to stand. Then it tells us what the armor is. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Why is that important? You'll always know who you are in Christ. No matter what comes, you will always know who you are in Christ. And knowing who you are in Christ means you will know what weaponry you have in Christ. And nothing will shake you because you know that you're in Christ, and Jesus Christ is the name above all names. We know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We need to remember that. So we need truth so that we can stand in triumph. We have to put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Why? It will keep us pure. When we raise hands, we'll always be raising holy hands, because we've protected our heart. And protecting our heart also protects us from adverse emotions. Because you get very emotional, you won't remember anything, because you'll be too worked up. And you won't be able to stand. And you'll be, oh my God, I don't know what to do. What's going on here? I just don't know. Protect your heart. Put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart, keeps you pure, keeps you whole, keeps you sane, keeps you lucid, keeps you in remembrance of who you are. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. One of the things I found out is that in the military, every command given starts with from the position of attention. No matter what's going on, the command will come, attention, or attend hut, or however they say it. I've never been in the Army. The closest I've been is the Civil Air Patrol. But once you're called to attention, then instruction is given. Why is that important? When you're in the position of attention, all of your focus is on the person who called you to attention. So now you hear every detail as to the instructions that are given. You don't miss anything. Why? You're focused. You're like the guy in the Karate Kid. He's Danielson. Must be focused. You're focused in. You've blocked everything out. So we're called to attention. And then we're given orders, we're given commands, we're given instructions. And when we're at that place of attention, we'll get every detail. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able. Think about that. It doesn't say it will automatically. It doesn't even say it will always, but it said it is able. Which means it's always able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. It's always able to do that. But it doesn't always do it because we don't always have it with us. Why don't we have it with us? We're looking at the circumstance, and it's causing us to forget who we are because we didn't have our helmet of salvation in place. We didn't have the truth of who we are in place. We tapped into an incorrect power source, so we don't have the power to resist. We have to have on all the armor. Faith is the evidence that everything God said is true. And it says, above all, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield. That means faith covers you 360 degrees. You're covered. And it's the evidence that everything God said is true. Verse 17. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Oh, the devil is very good at telling you lies and making it seem like it's the truth. But salvation is more. It says, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. Salvation is more than just not going to hell, not spending eternity in hell. It's more than that. The Greek word is sozo. It means deliver or heal, persevere, save, do well, make whole. That's what it means. It doesn't just mean you get to spend eternity with God. Not that that's not a great thing. But once you become saved, once you've received Christ as your Savior, you should be whole. Spirit, soul, and body. Physically, morally, financially. Whole. That's part of our armor that we should be wearing all of the time. Knowing I've been made whole. I'm healed by the power of Jesus. We don't look healed, but yeah, I have it by faith. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. That means we should never stop praying. Never. We should never be caught with our prayers down. Doing those things help keep you in the category of having done all. There's another thing I need to show you. Ephesians 6, verse 13, in the Amplified Classic Edition, says, therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. I found that interesting. Having done all the crisis demands. Very interesting phrase. It lets us know something. Circumstances don't come in cookie cutter size. And every circumstance is going to demand certain things of us. And we have to be willing to give all that the circumstance demands to be handled. What does that mean? Well, the crisis may demand you forgive. It may demand that you forgive. Are you not willing to do that? Because if the crisis demands forgive and you don't forgive, how are you going to be able to stand? Because you haven't done all. The crisis may demand you walk in love, in the God kind of love. not the world kind of love. The crisis may demand that you let something or someone go. Just let it go. Why? It's not worth you be falling down. If you are going to stand, you may have to let some things or some people go. That's why we need the whole armor of God, folks. We cannot be in a position to stand unless we have done all. And doing all, going back to the beginning, means wearing the whole armor of God. It means knowing who we are in Christ. We have to know who we are in Christ. It's imperative that we know who we are in Christ, because the enemy is going to keep coming, trying to get us to believe something different. So we can't, you know, there are times we may oversleep, and we jump up and we throw on something and leave and run an errand. That may be fine for natural things, but spiritually, we need to make sure, we need to fall asleep in our armor. Why? Because Satan doesn't sleep. He'll come at you in your dreams. We have to go to bed knowing who we are. We need to go to bed knowing the truth. We need to go to bed, go to sleep being holy. We need to be alert. We need to go to sleep in faith. We have to have the armor on every moment of our life. You will not find a scripture that tells you, well, you can take off the armor to send it to the cleaners. No, it says, put on the whole armor of God. And it told us why. It said, so we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If we can't stand against the wiles of the devil, we will not do all, and we won't be able to stand against anything. It says, having done all, A-L-L, having done all, stand. We need to get excited, making sure always going down our having done all checklist. In every moment, something comes up. What's our favorite one? We get cut off driving. I don't know why that enrages people the way it does. I mean, when I was in the world, I didn't get enraged when people cut me off. You know, even if they did it on purpose. I don't know if it was on purpose or not, because I never stopped and said, did you do that on purpose? You know, I just decided it wasn't going to bother me. And I did that as a rank sinner. How much more, having tapped into the right power source, not the wrong one, tapped into the right power source, how much more should I be able to accomplish? How much more will you be able to accomplish once you've gotten to the place where you have done all? You talk about standing. When you've done all, you will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding is the type of life we will live if we've just understood the basics. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Folks, God said we don't have to wonder, we don't have to fret, we don't have to question our faith. All we have to do is make sure we've done all, and we'll stand. Say, having done all, I'm standing. I don't need to get excited or anxious. All I need to do is make sure that I've done all, and part of doing all is making sure I'm properly dressed in God's full armor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the word you gave us. Very simple word, very powerful word. Thank you for making it clear to us. Now we know why it appears that we're struggling. We're wrestling against flesh and blood when we need to be know that we're wrestling against principalities. And we need to know that we have to have our we've learned that we have to have our armor in place. Because that assures us the victory that we've already been given. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that in every situation you'll remind us or you'll bring to our attention if we've left something out of having done all, and we'll quickly correct it. But thank you for, again, putting us in a position where we can always proclaim, thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Having done all, stand. I want you to think about that. Think about that for the rest of the evening. Having done all, stand. Am I doing all? Do I know who I am? Do I have this thing covered? And if it's no, fix it. Don't get into condemnation. Just fix it. You've been created to stand. It's God's will for you to stand. And he just made it perfectly clear to us as to how we can accomplish it. And everything starts out with an, remember I said you have to be plugged into the right power source? Well, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except you come through him. So the key is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. That's what it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10. So I'm going to just ask you all to just make this confession. Father God, I believe that you're God. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for me on that cross. I believe he went to hell for me. And I believe that after spending 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you. And I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I've turned from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I've turned to you. I receive you now as my Savior. Thank you that I'm born again. In your name, amen. Well, folks, if you made that prayer according to the Word of God, you just became born again. The next step for you is to please use the contact us information and let us know that you received Christ as your Savior this evening. We have some free information that we would like to send you to let you know who you've now become in Christ, let you know that you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. And everything that seemed to be knocking you down, you'll learn how you can stand. And as I said when we first started, if you have any questions, feel free to use the same contact us information and let me know your question. We'll get back to you.